Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
And as you guys find your way back to your seat, I'm going to invite all of our kids to join me up here on the stairs. If you're a kid, however you want to define that, please join me up on the stairs. We're going to talk about some of your guys' favorite things.
Electronics.
That's not where I was going to go there, but yeah. We're going to talk about holidays. There's a pretty big holiday yesterday. I think you guys got this one. Anybody know what yesterday's holiday?
Christmas,
right? Believe it or not, I actually found a survey that said that Christmas was the 8th most favorite holiday. And maybe question everything else about that, right? Yeah, like, nothing in that survey is going to be accurate if you think Christmas is the 8th best holiday. And so, really, Christmas is usually like number one or number two. Sometimes people like Thanksgiving more. Totally understand that, too. But it's usually way up there. Yeah, it's all about the turkey. Did you have a Christmas ham?
No.
Okay, well, that's usually what it is. You know, maybe if you don't like ham.
I didn't have a turkey either.
You didn't have a turkey either. Yeah, I know. You were with me, so. But as we think about these things, if we ask kids what their favorite holiday is, a lot of times they come up with a different one besides Christmas that's really just more about them. Does anybody know a day that's really just kind of about you?
Birthdays,
right? You know, but the problem is today with holidays, there's actually like a holiday for every day. Do you guys know that? Like, tell me somebody's birthday. When's your birthday?
August 15th.
So while you're celebrating that, I'm celebrating Relaxation Day. August 15th is Relaxation Day. Everybody else can celebrate that with you. Somebody give me another one. What's another one? Yeah. What's your birthday?
September 9th.
September 9th. September 9th is Teddy Bear Day.
No, it's not.
It's Teddy Bear Day. Yeah, it is. You know what today is? Today is National Write a Thank You Card Day. National Write a Thank You Card. Somebody way over there. Give me a birthday. What's your birthday? What's your birthday? All the way in the back of the chief shirt. November 19th. Let's see what we're celebrating on November 19th. Ooh, that's actually a day they don't have one. But they make up for it. They have two on November 18th. Push buttons on a phone day. That could get dangerous. And use less stuff day. Right? So there's like a holiday for every day. Right? One more. Okay.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday? That's the type of holiday I can get behind. Taco Tuesday, right?
Taco Tuesday.
So, Taco Tuesday is pretty great. But when you think about holidays, the word holiday, it comes from this concept of it being a holy day, a day that's set apart for a specific reason. And when we set apart days for a specific reason, if we're to think about something that's going to be a big enough deal that we set aside everything for it, it needs to be something that really everybody can get behind. Today is actually a holiday that's a little less known than Christmas. Does anybody know what today's holiday is?
It's
Boxing Day. Do you know what Boxing Day is, though? Right? Okay, yeah, it's a holiday about giving, so has nothing to do with boxers or boxes or boxing gloves, right? But it has this concept of giving to others. There's two possible ways that it started. Some people say that there were people who gave boxes of their blessings to the servants and their households. Other people say that it was when the church took the boxes. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have black boxes that are like on the walls that people can give to. Churches back in the day used to have boxes like that for the offering, and they would empty those boxes and give those to the poor and the people that were around them. So whether it's giving to the servants or giving to the poor around them, Boxing Day is about taking the blessings that God has given us and giving it to those around them. And so this morning we're going to talk about how that's kind of a basic Christian thing that we're supposed to be doing. And as we do that this morning, we're going to see that for Christians, because of the blessing of Jesus, we're called and we're able to bless the people who are around us. And so for us to really understand what that means, we have to really know what a blessing Jesus is to each of us. So we're going to have you guys go back to your seats, okay? Head back to your seats. As you guys head back to your seats, I'm going to invite everybody else to stand. We're going to continue in worship as we focus on this thought of who Jesus is. And in order for us to really think about that, we reflect on that as we worship him. We look at him, we see him for who he is, the greatest gift of all, and then we'll be able to respond in a right way as we look at that.
1 Thessalonians 3:11, verse 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow your love with one another for everyone, just as we do for you. May he make your hearts blameless and holiness before our God and Father, all the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.
Amen. So as I said in our brief little opening in our primer, we're going to be talking today about Boxing Day. And a big premise of what we're going to talk about is a holiday that's worth celebrating is one that's worth thinking of all year round. Think about Christmas, right? We talk about Christmas. We talk about thinking of Jesus coming, the greatest gift of all, given to all people. And while we set apart one day, we should live our lives as if that's true every day. It'll be the same for Boxing Day as we talk about it, but let's think about some of the other holidays. Thanksgiving. The premise behind Thanksgiving of being thankful is something we should not just do one Thursday in November, but a thing that we should live like all the days of our life. The same with Father's Day and Mother's Day as we revere those people in our lives. We live with that truth the rest of the days that we're here. And so as we think about that, we just reflected on who Jesus is. Singing these songs, our students did a great job of leading us in worship, and hopefully we were able to connect with the Jesus that we were singing to. Because what we'll see is that the Jesus that we sing to, the Jesus we praise, the baby Jesus who came to all people, grows up, becomes the cross Jesus who dies for our sins. And when we reflect on that, we see that that death was not just for each one of us, but in a way for us to become conduits, or a way for us to become the messengers or the hands and feet of Jesus to take that good news to other people. And so that is what Boxing Day is all about. Taking the blessing of Jesus and spreading that with the people around us. But I want to build a case that this is an entirely Christian focus. It's something that we see throughout the scriptures. And so I'll invite you guys to come with me as we walk through a bunch of different scriptures that talk about how God blesses us to bless the people around us. And to start with, we have to look no further than Jesus' actual words when he's asked to sum up what all of Christianity means. And so as the religious leaders are trying to get him in a trap with different questions, they ask him that question and he responds with this answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The second greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Sorry, that first part was the greatest. I read through the next line. But the first commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And the second is like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so this whole concept of loving God and loving others is not just new to the New Testament. In fact, if you were with us as we walked through Exodus and Pastor Patrick preached through that, he talked about how the Ten Commandments, or the ten words that are there, are focused on how we respond to God by also responding to the others around us. And so we love God by loving the people around us. And so throughout the scriptures, we see the pattern that if God is calling redeemed believers to live sacrificially, to give generously, and to serve others, and that when they do that, the people and the lives around them are transformed. And so even in the midst of when the church was founded, there was a lot of disagreements about things that were happening. So if we look at the book of Acts, there's a lot of things that they don't agree on. Specifically, they're trying to figure out how does this whole concept of being a Jewish person and being a Christian, how does that work? How do we get people to come on board with this? What do they need to do? What should they do? And as they work through that disagreement, the one thing that they agree on, Paul reminds us of in Galatians 2:10. He says, they asked only that we would remember the poor, which I had made every effort to do. So in the midst of a time of crisis, of trying to figure out and solve all these problems, they were focused on the needy in their community, and they agreed that that was a main tenet of what they were going to be about. And as they chose to be about that, it shouldn't surprise us that there was radical transformation in the communities that they were involved in. We read about that in the book of Acts. It says in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, "Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. But instead, they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them all. For there was not a needy person among them, because all of those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as any had need." But where does the desire to live like that come from? How do you get to a place where you say, everything that is mine is not really mine, but is God's? If it's one of those things that we try to just tell ourselves that we can do this by ourselves, we can think about others, think about others, think about others, think about others, we're not going to get very far doing that. We can tell ourselves that until we're blue in the face, but that might not actually make us think about others in a genuine way even more. The only way that we can live others-focused lives is if the Spirit of God and His Holy Spirit is coming upon us and transforming our hearts, allowing us to die to ourselves so that we can live for the people around us. It's that sentiment that Paul prays for the church in Thessalonians. And as he prays for the Thessalonian believers, as Savannah read for us, his prayer is about the connection between what God has done and how we live in light of that. 1 Thessalonians 3:11 to 13 says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you. May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen." And as he talks about this, that second word that he uses for overflow in its original language is the same word that we see that talks about the leftovers that the disciples picked up when Jesus multiplied the meals for the multitudes. And as we think about that, there's a great connection between what Jesus is doing there and what God is calling us to do in this spot. As Jesus fills and feeds us physically and spiritually, he often blesses us beyond what we need, not so that we can live in the excess, but so that we can bless others. And let's hang out here for a second and talk about the difference between leftovers and overflow. So both of those words are used from the same word, the leftovers of something and the overflow. And as I talk about leftovers, there's probably somebody in this room that have a lot of leftovers right now at home that you can work on, right? And so leftovers are some things that for most people are not super exciting, right? They're not something that you really get excited about saying, hey, for the next week, I'm going to be eating leftovers of this. Actually, when I was in seminary, I had a roommate who his big thing was we were going to make one meal on Sunday, and it was going to be big enough that we could eat the leftovers for the rest of the week. It's a little extreme on leftovers, right? Like, so, you know, maybe you eat leftovers once, maybe a couple things, but think about eating it for the rest of the week. It's kind of nauseated. You get kind of over it. Eating the same thing, eating spaghetti Sunday through Friday or Saturday, whenever it runs out, it's not exciting, right? A lot of us, we take leftovers. We have this extra. We take it. We put it in a doggy bag. We put it in Tupperware, whatever it is. We put it on our refrigerator. Maybe we come back in a week. Maybe we come back in a couple days. Or maybe it's a couple months later and we realize we need to throw it away because it's no good anymore, right? And so we take and we keep and we put it somewhere. But now let's think about the thought of overflow. As we think about overflow, we get more of a picture of, hey, I need to like take and fill this right now because if I don't, I'm going to waste what's there. As I think about that concept, I remember the first time that I made the Pioneer Woman's cinnamon roll recipe. And so I was a single guy living in California, and my friend Jeff and I thought, hey, we're going to learn how to cook. And so we did what every guy who's trying to learn how to cook is. We go to the internet and try to find a recipe. And so we get this recipe for cinnamon rolls. We scroll a little bit through her life story that accompanies the recipe, skimming over that, looking at pictures, doing all those different things. And we see, like, hey, there's about 8 cinnamon rolls in each, like, pan that she shows. And so we look at the servings. It says it serves 8. There's 8 cinnamon rolls. And we're like, yeah, we got to at least double this because we just need more than 8 cinnamon rolls for us. And so as we do that, you know, we've never done anything with yeast. We've never done anything like this. Like, we throw it in there. It's all growing. We have to keep, like, pounding it down and all these different things. We had no idea how many cinnamon rolls we were making until we had filled all of the pans that were in the house. And then we had to go buy more pans to fill the rest of these cinnamon rolls. And so, like, each portion that it said serves 8 is actually something like 50-some-odd cinnamon rolls. So we doubled that, so now we got 2 guys with like 100-and-some-odd cinnamon rolls. And we're like, well, what are we going to do with these? We could certainly keep them and eat leftover cinnamon rolls for a long time, but we would probably get really sick, and it's not really good for us. But what we decided is, hey, let's take the overflow of what we have, and let's bless people with these fresh cinnamon rolls that are coming out of the oven. So they could be the same thing. You could view it as leftovers or you could view it as overflow, but it's a perspective that's different. When we have excess, when we have what God's given to us and it's above what we need, do we choose to keep that for ourselves or do we choose to bless those around us with what he's given us? It's something that's really hard to do though, right? To let go of something that's ours. To give up something that we know we might need later. Or to think, well, we've had hard seasons, but we need to still have this concept of the blessings that we get are given to us for those around us. Several weeks ago, Patrick reminded us of this when we were looking on the Joy Week at the concept of what John the Baptist was telling the people around them. In Luke 3:10 through 11, he calls them to provide for the excess, to give that excess to those around them. If they have 2 of something, to share that with someone who needs that. Remember, that's tied to the concept of joy. It brings us to the words of Jesus that it's more blessed to give than to receive. But do we really live like that? Is it something that we can say, hey, I live in such a way that giving is more important to me than receiving? And so maybe some of the parents in this room, you understand a little bit about what that means. That Christmas grows and it's different for you as you get older, as you have your own family that you're responsible for, as you're trying to give gifts to that. But have you ever given a gift to somebody that really just blew them away? Like, I'm talking about like that kid that opened the Nintendo 64 that video keeps going, that he's just going like nuts, so crazy, blown away by that gift that they've given. So I like to go outside the box sometimes with gifts that are given. When I was at one point shopping for a wedding gift for one of my friends who was getting married, I looked through the registry and I thought, my friend cares nothing about any of these items. So top to bottom, there was not a single thing in that list that I thought, when he opens it, he's going to be like, oh, this is great, you know, linen sheets or whatever it was, you know, Tupperware, all those different things. He could care less about any of those, and they meant nothing to him. So I said, you know what? Scrap the list. I'm going to get him what he really wants. And so I think we got a picture here of this. So LSU football chips and salsa tray, right? So you put chips in the top. This one just put pretzels and peanuts in the front. I mean, it's truly like a gift that he was just blown away. It's like, this is the greatest thing ever. It's revolutionized his Saturdays in the fall. His kids love it. He's just using it all the time, right? Knows the person who gave him the gift because it's such a big part of what he does. Crazy thing about this, I actually got one of those, not LSU, but for Christmas. I've talked so much about it that my wife knows I value those things. But it's one of those things that it's like, you never buy this for yourself, but when you get it as a gift, you're like, that's right, that's what I really wanted. And so, I mean, it really hasn't changed my friend's life, right? It's a chips and salsa tray. He could open a bag of chips. He could dip it straight into the jar of salsa like we did when we were bachelors. But he has now this thing that he can set it out there and he can show it off. It's a gift that he's given. But the truth is that we're given, as believers, the most precious gift of all to share with other people around us. But do we understand the life-changing, transformative power of the gospel and its ability to do the same thing for the lives of the people around us? Because we are the only thing God is using to proclaim those truths of the specifics of the gospel. Creation, nature, all those things around can point to God, but the actual specific words are given to his people, his messengers, to share that. That's why he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." But when redeemed believers are living sacrificially, giving generously, and serving others, that is when the gospel spreads. We see that in the church, the early church, that when they were living according to the life-changing, countercultural, upside-down commands of the gospel, that the gospel was extending everywhere they went. People were giving their lives to the Lord. The transforming work of the gospel was working because God's people were a part of his mission. They were living like they mattered. And they knew that they mattered because they mattered to Jesus. And they knew that they mattered because they were the people that God had chosen to send the greatest message and the greatest gift to all those who were around them. So what we see with Boxing Day is it's a day like Christmas. It's a one day reminder of how we're supposed to live all of our lives. When we reflect on the blessings that we receive, do we see that we're given those blessings to bless the people around us? And when we live that way, when we think that way, when we live as if the gospel matters to us and has transformed our lives, it will impact the people around us. When we think about holidays, we say that holiday was a holy day, it was a day that was set apart. We need to take that a step further and understand this, that if we have been transformed, if we have been redeemed, we are now made holy. So in a sense, the day is not so much about a day, but about who we are as individuals. Are we living as if the gospel has transformed us? Can the people around us see that? Can they see what God has done for us? And does it matter to us enough that it makes a difference in how we live and treat those around us? If this is occurring, we'll see fulfilled the words of 2 Corinthians 4:15, which says, "Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God." God chooses to use us because he receives glory when we willingly choose to follow him and to live in obedience to his commands. So who is God calling you to extend those blessings to? We as a church have had a great opportunity to do this for our community as we've done our Thanksgiving outreach. Many of you guys partnered with us in the New City Church opportunity that we had to go this last week and deliver the Christmas gifts and the food to these families. It was a great blessing to see what that ministry is doing. And in fact, we brought a small portion of what they had. They had so many people giving to that opportunity to bless that community. But how will we continue to make that a hallmark of who we are as Christians? So it's not just a seasonal outreach that takes place. What does it look like for us to bless the people who are around us? You know, as Toby shared with us Boxing Day, most people say it really draws back to the household people's blessing the servants in their home. We don't have servants in our home, right? But who are the people that are serving you in your life? Who are the people that you're running into all the time that you have an opportunity to bless? As we think about and reflect on the last two crazy years of our lives, the different people who have never stopped working, we can think about medical workers, teachers, restaurant workers, grocery store workers, postal and delivery workers, so many other types of people who are consistently and sacrificially living for other people around them so that they can give to those. Have we taken the time to reflect and to bless those people that are in our lives that are doing those things for us? Do we live as if they matter? Do we live as if our opportunity to share the gospel with them is through our ability to connect with them? Maybe it could just be your neighbors or your coworkers or anybody else that God has placed in your life that needs to see the light and the truth of the gospel. So what does it look like for you to live sacrificially, to give generously, and to serve others for the sake and the cause of the gospel, so that God's kingdom continues to grow and expand for his praise and his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you give us to reflect on how truly blessed we are. We know that all that we have received from you is given to us, and given to us with the opportunity for us to reflect others and the truth back to you. So we pray that you would find us faithful to that mission, that as you bless us, that we would see that these things are not things that we should hoard, that the blessings and all good things that come down from you as the Father of lights are not for just us solely, but are given to us with the opportunity for us to spread them to others around us. That as we spread the blessings that are material possessions, that gives us an opportunity to be connected with people who we can then give the truly greater spiritual blessings that you've given to us. That we can sacrificially serve others to make a connection for a partnership in the gospel. And so that in doing so, we can place you, the greatest gift, on display, so that those will know who Jesus is and the transforming power that he gives and that he brings to our lives. So as we reflect on that today, I pray that you would open up our eyes to the opportunities that we have, that you would place individuals or communities or groups of people upon our heart that we can display the truth of the gospel to. Allow us to live as your servants. Allow us to live in light of the blessings and the truths of the gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.